We wouldn't be able to keep this archive going without your support. Donate online today at WIXR.org.
Larger Arena District Security Plan. That includes Beale Street and is to include a downtown Memphis Police Command Center at B.B. King Boulevard and Peabody Place. For Bill Dries, I'm Natalie Van Gundy. More on these stories and others are available at dailymemphian.com.
Lucky me. Finally free. I'm free to chase the wind, free to paint the town. Now that there's no nuisance hanging around on me. No more that I could not return. No more laughing at the girl who never learned. The short one with the knobby knees. Yes, the girl had not. I'm such a lucky guy. Got rid of that softy that always tried to please. The one that loved me so but never ever made me cry. That loved me so, I never knew just why. The one that always lost the key. Yes, the girl always lost the key. Hey, don't you know that I feel lucky?
Anybody else out there feel lucky like I do, y'all? It's a lucky day, y'all. It's a great day. Because what? You're listening to Dr. Talisa right here. Let's have a talk with Talisa right here on 91.7 WYXR. And we are super excited about today's guest. Listen, this is a beautiful day in Memphis, Tennessee, in the Crosstown Concourse. And we're going to have an amazing... And when I say amazing, we're going to have an amazing conversation on this morning. If anybody know anything about me, they know I love children and I love seniors. Because those are two populations, sometimes we're not keeping them at the forefront of our lives. When you think about our seniors, many of us now are living and doing our best life because there was a senior citizen that poured into us. And then, as children, it's important, and I always say this all the time, people say children are our future, but Talisa says children are now. What we do with our children now that will determine our future. And we have to really make sure that we are mindful of the decisions, the things that we do for our children, to our children, in front of our children, with our children, and the list can go on and on. And so today I was like, what would be more fitting to have two amazing individuals that I call change agents in our community that truly cares about the children. And now they're in positions to make decisions for our children's better behalf. And you know, I remember when I was in school, I went to many different schools here in the city of Memphis, and some had the best, some didn't have so best, and some didn't have anything, right? And so what that did for some people in certain schools, they didn't have an opportunity to win. They didn't have an opportunity to be successful. They just didn't have the opportunity that other kids, other peers at other schools did, right? And so it is important that leaders, our leaders, making sure we have an equitable situation for our children so that our children cannot just survive in Memphis, but I want our children to thrive in 2025, baby. Oh, yes, I want us to thrive on new levels. And so today, I'm introduced to one of my guests, and I have another one here with me as well. But I have the utmost respect for this young lady. She so happens to be on our Shelby County School Board Commissioner, but she's been with the Olympics. She's a financial guru. She's really caring about the community. And I never forget when I met her, she had such a sweet and pleasing personality when she was competing for the Olympics. I was like, man, we got somebody in Memphis that's doing bobsledding. What the world? But she so happened to be a beautiful African-American woman that I believe that many of our children can look up to, especially if they're in sports. They can say, ooh, she did it, and I can too. So let me go ahead and welcome right here to 91.7 WYXR, the one, the only Mrs. Commissioner Sable Ote. Hey, Sable.
Hey, Dr. Franklin. How you doing?
Man, amazing. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for your time on this morning, because it means so much for me to have these conversations, because if anybody know me, when you're talking about children, mm-hmm. I absolutely, mm-hmm. positively love children.
Yes, you do.
Now, some days I like grown folk, but I love children and I love seniors, yes. Right? So before we dump in that, I need people to know, because see, I know when I first met you, you was bobsledding, you was doing this, I say, Olympics, what the world? But kind of tell our listeners right here at 91.7 WYXR, who is Sable Ote?
Well, my name is Sable Ote. I am a graduate of the mighty, the one and only East High. So I am an alumni. It's hard to be a Mustang, but I'm an alumni from East High School. Graduated, and I actually got married in high school. My husband was in the Navy, so we quickly moved to San Diego. Lived there for about 10 years. That's when I started getting introduced to different sports. I got to train at the Olympic Training Center. I was actually preparing for Olympic trials for track, and I ended up getting pregnant with my first son. And so I pretty much thought that there was no option for me, or, you know, how to be domestic after getting pregnant. You know, you don't think about going back to professional sports, right? And so I came back home, and it wasn't until I got back to Memphis that I actually decided to try for the bobsled team. And most people don't realize that, you know, when you're doing that, it's like you're doing football, you know, exercises, like you're sprinting, you're jumping, you're throwing. So they want to test your power and your speed. So it's very simple. Anybody can try out for it.
And not so, me, though. Not me. Come on.
So, I wasn't thinking I was going to make the team. It was crazy because my son, he was 2 or 3 at the time, and we were training, and all the competitors were out there practicing and, you know, trying to, you know, hit those standards, and my son was everywhere, and I was like, Lord, they're not going to pick me because I can't even control my kid, right? And so, after we did all the different exercises and everything, they said they would email us, and I didn't get an email. And I finally got one, maybe a few days later, and they were like, welcome to the United States bobsled team. You were cordially invited for official tryouts, right? So it's different steps. And so there I was. I went to Lake Placid, New York. You see the movie with the crocodiles and stuff? Like, yeah. It literally looks like that there. And so you fly into Albany, New York. You drive up to Lake Placid, about 2 hours from the actual airport. And then we trot out there. And I was completely horrible. Like, I didn't know how to push. I didn't know how to, you know, transition. It's a really a technical thing. Uh-huh. So you have to know technique. And then you have to be strong. And then you have to be fast.
Wow.
So things just kind of took off from there. And, here I am. It was very trying. I actually was injured during my tryouts, and you don't want people to know you're injured because they know you're injured. You know, it's like, you know, they try to count you out.
Yeah,
and so because I had so many injuries, like in high school, I learned post-injury training. I've always had hamstring injuries, you know, growing injuries. So it was just like a natural thing for me, right? And so I was able to, alongside with the training that they were giving me and the treatment they were giving me, I did self-treatment as well, and I was able to make it through trials. And so, yeah, there I was. We got to the circuit. Very scary. The first time you go down, it's like really fast, and you know what to expect, and everything's shaky, and you just pray that your driver remembers how to drive, right? Because at the beginning of the season, they don't have any, what we call it, runs. They don't have any runs in under their belt yet because it's been hot outside, right?
Yeah.
And so they freeze the track. A lot of times they manually refrigerate the track, and they have to go and smooth the ice. So we're in there, the driver's working out their kinks and trying to make sure we get down there safely, and we get out the sled, and we're like, what just happened here? Like, what are we doing, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And the sled can go up to 90 miles an hour. It can go even faster, right? And so it's very dangerous. You have to be very prayerful. I literally had to put my life in somebody else's hands.
Yeah.
So my goal was just to make sure the driver was comfortable, they had everything they needed, and that our sled was good, the runners were good, and that, you know, we would be able to get down the track safely and as quickly as we could. So, yeah.
Cool. Baby, you, if anybody know me, and, you know, I tell my son when he's going 40 miles an hour, faster, I be just going out like, that's not mama's speed limit. It's just we're not doing those other speed limits because I literally do not like speed, right?
Yeah.
So I don't do no roller coasters. I don't do anything to make my 50-year-old butt be freaked out, okay? So I ain't doing it to myself, and I ain't gonna let nobody trick me. And so I know my lane, but I love to see young people have a great time, and I love to see young people are challenged. And then when I look at you now, that tells me why, you know, you're consistent working out. You're very disciplined. Some days, you know, the holidays didn't do me good, right? You know, I told people I was trying to get one of time five. This one of time this holiday, folk would bring me sweet potato pies, chocolate chip cookies. And I kept saying, bring me more, bring me more, bring me more. And so now I see the results of it today. Like, oh my God, what did I do to try to get one of time five? Now I'm going to get summertime five. But when you think about the health and wellness of our body, is also the health and wellness of our mind.
Yes.
Right? And so now with your new role as Shelby County, Memphis City Schools, Shelby County Board Commissioner, you're in charge of making decisions for our children. Right.
Right?
And one of the things that's important to me, and I learned this, if you can't read, you cannot learn, and you show can't lead, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to make sure that our children can read and write. And so literacy, to me, is very important.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really want to just kind of dive into our conversation is why, you know, for me, why is it so important for school board districts to partner with nonprofits to build after-school literacy programs? You know, my dear friend that's not at Bridge is Sam, and he's always big about literacy. Literacy Mid-South did a whole lot of things in our community, making sure our people, young, middle-aged, and old, get the resources that they need to explore literacy. I love the literacy vending machines. I love all those things. But my thing is to you that there's so many amazing nonprofits. And we know we can't touch every child in every school every day. That's why we have all these community partners. Like, I love, like, I Am She, I Am He, Husband Institute. There's a lot of organizations, Bridges, that's really bridging the gap for our children.
Right.
So talk to me how you see, how do we build more partnerships and relationships with nonprofits that's doing these after school programs so that we can push our children from a literacy standpoint so they can not only learn but lead the next generation.
Right. So partnering with nonprofits is very essential because it allows us to pool resources and expertise to address literacy gaps in a holistic but a sustainable way. Mm-hmm. Nonprofits often bring specialized knowledge, funding, and programming that complement our efforts in the classroom. And we do this by working together. We can create engaging environments, research-based programs that improve reading proficiency while also offering a safe and structured environment for our students during school and after school. So I do remember in school when I went to East High School and even in elementary, us having access to different programs and those organizations coming into the schools and bringing and providing those resources, us actually playing games. Right now, I have done a lot of work with the Y. You know, we did the Fall Academy. So that was awesome. They also provide literacy opportunities as well. But, you know, just also thinking about there are so many other organizations that can help us close that achievement gap when it comes to literacy, because it's going to take a community. I think I've been saying that this entire time. It's going to take all of us to come together to make sure that our children are getting what they actually need and making sure that there is no child left behind when it comes to that. And so just talking to I spoke to one of my principals the other day and say, hey, what are one of those areas of need when it comes to literacy? And one of my principals was like, well, we need some more support with our fourth graders. So just trying to make sure I schedule those appointments to sit down with those principals and see what plan do you actually have in place already? What additional resource or a nonprofit organization can I bring to you to see what it is that they can do to help? How can we all pull together to make sure that our students are achieving when it comes to literacy?
Because when you think about our schools, and I think I'm a pen, I should have asked you, and we'll come back to it, is that making sure our children have accessibility to, because there are some amazing nonprofits, but in some communities, our children don't have, the parents don't have adequate transportation. They don't have the resources that many other students have. You remember I said, you know, I went to a lot of different schools here in the city. And so some of the things that was at this school wasn't at that school because certain parents couldn't afford it, right? And then they didn't have the resources. And so I maybe wanted to go to a program across town, but unfortunately my grandparents didn't have great transportation. So because of that, that means you're going to have to do what's down there down the road, or you ain't going at all, So that means that's not equitable, accessible to our schools. So let's talk about, here you are, what all schools are you, you're over, per se?
So I'm one of the blessed ones. I don't have as many as some of the other board commissioners have, but I have Cordova Elementary, Middle, and High. I have Mount Pisgah, Chimney Rock, Riverwood. I have Memphis School of Excellence, elementary and high school. See if I missed it. I think I touched on all of them. Oh, and Macon Hall. So those are the schools that I actually have that's in my area.
So do you have charter schools too?
Yeah, Memphis School of Excellence. It's a charter school.
Oh, wow.
Right. And I try to do my best to provide as many resources as I can to them as well. Because they have a high need also. So just, you know, making my rounds, we just sent an email out just to see like what'll be the best time to collaborate with everyone one-on-one and just see what they're needing and seeing how we can make sure they get those resources inside the school as soon as possible.
You know, for me, I'm looking at you. You're such a pretty young lady. Thank you. To see, I can imagine when the young girls see you in the school, they're like, man, she look like me. She look like me. She look like a little kid, right? But they're like, you're who? Yeah, I'm her, right? I don't get that anymore. You know, I don't know. I'm just, you know, I'm just a few years younger than you, y'all. Just a little younger, right? But it makes, to me, it matters your appearance, where you carry yourself when we go into those schools, because now we're raising our young people expectations and say, hey, I traveled the world, I did this. I'm not only worried about your literacy of your reading and writing, but you're specialized in financial literacy, right? How important do you think, even from a financial literacy, that our young people learn early?
Oh, wow. We can talk about this forever. So we do community workshops. We do a lot of different workshops with the children. We're working on some things now so that we can potentially bring in some of those partners as well as it pertains to financial literacy. Mm-hmm. What I have learned just from the work that I've done in the community, sometimes the parents don't have. Mm-hmm. Some of the issues that I found, we talk about banking. A lot of our parents don't have bank accounts. Mm-hmm. We had a conversation about, Cash App. Nothing's wrong with Cash App. But you want the children to actually have a bank account, want them to actually know how to endorse and use a check.
Yes.
That's another thing we talk about, endorsing, right? Endorsements, learning how to write in cursive.
Yeah.
They don't know how to do that. A basic budget. A lot of them don't know how to do a basic budget. So we go over the money that you have coming in, the money that you have coming out. And a lot of times when we do that, there's a huge deficit, right? Mm-hmm. And we wonder, like, how are you making it? And how can we help you get access to those wraparound services to supplement some of this? So what I found, basic budgeting, just basic financial knowledge, banking has been a big thing. Let's not talk about credit and interest rates.
Yes. Lord.
It's like you're speaking a whole nother language when you start talking about interest rates, good interest, bad interest. You know, you got APR. You want your APR to be low when you're purchasing a car. You know, if you can help it. You want your rate of return to be high when you get in a bank account. You don't want it to be, we'll give you this bank account and it's 0.000%. That means your money's not going to grow. Mm-hmm. So just teaching the good interest and the bad interest. And, educators do really well with this because we're doing what we do best, which is teaching, right? And breaking it down. So I get excited about this stuff. And then we talk about credit, helping them understand how important it is to have credit and how to use credit cards. Credit cards are not bad. There's good credit, there's bad credit. Are you using it to build? Or are you using it to, just go shopping and investing in things that's not going to give you value or that's not going to make you money. Of course, you got to get you some nice clothes, presentable, but making sure we're using those things, those tools that we have available to us correctly. Mm-hmm. Because, we have to think about building generational wealth. We have to think about, I get a lot of my the kids saying how hard they work and how hard they see their parents working and how they want to retire their parents because they see them working so hard. And, what is it can I do? A coach will tell you, I want to learn, and that you can see the weight on his shoulders, and it's just like you feel for them because we were all that person at one
point, and so
just excited to be able to teach them those basic things. But there is a high need, especially in Memphis, high need for financial literacy and general literacy.
Because it's funny, I tell my son, when I was 18, I was working at Arby's. Mm. I was making $4.25 an hour.
Wow.
Right? And so some days when we go out to eat, I was like, we done spend $90 to $100. I would have had to work 30 hours or this many hours to get this kind of money after taxes. He's like, that just don't sound right. I said, but I made it, right? Because I knew how to take it and let that money stretch. And it was because I learned so many different principles, and some of those principles I learned outside of schools. And when we're thinking about our after school programs, especially literacy, because it's important that our children come in and get what they need in making sure they are successful. So we're going to talk more about that, but I'm going to let you listen to a little music and then we're coming right back right here on WYXR.
Hi, this is Liz King, and you are listening to WYXR 91.7 FM Memphis, the community station that's raised by sound.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I told y'all we was coming right back now. Didn't I tell you we was coming right back? Because today we talking about what about the children, y'all? I am your girl, Dr. Talisa Franklin. Let's have a talk with Talisa. And I'm super, super, super excited to have Sable Ote in with me because she has all things about our children. And then I am super excited to have one of my dear brothers, my dear friend, that is doing great things right here in the city of Memphis. And he is also a school board commissioner himself, the one, the only, Tamarcus Porto. Hey, Tamarcus.
Hello, hello.
The commissioner. You know, y'all, I just call y'all by your first name. I'm done. But I respect the call on your life. So, Tamarcus, like I asked Sable, before there was a commissioner, Tamarcus Porter, tell people, who is Tamarcus Porter?
Well, you know, it's an actual debate right now. Are we commissioners or school boards? So yeah. I recently just heard that debate. But who is Tamarcus Porter? You know, I'm a guy, grew up in Orange Mound, graduated from Melrose High School, played football, played quarterback there. Once I graduated, went to Texas Southern University on a football scholarship. Once I finished there, graduated from University of Phoenix with a master's degree in technology management. And so, that's kind of the short story.
Yeah.
But my whole life has been dealing with education and technology, from working in daycares, teaching literacy programs, to actually working in the school system as a teacher assistant, and then working in the IT department. So now what I do, I currently work for the U.S. Treasury Department.
The money folk.
Yeah, the money people. You know, I don't deal with taxes, so I got to put that disclaimer out there. But I'm actually an IT specialist for the U.S. Treasury Department.
Okay, awesome. Well, one thing Ote and I was having a discussion about was literacy, right? Mm-hmm. Because literacy is major to me, because if our children cannot learn, they cannot read, then they really will never be able to truly lead, right? And so when you think about, she talked about her schools, but I wanted to ask you this question, is when we thinking about literacy, how important, because y'all know I'm a community girl. I love mm-hmm. the community. But how important it is to you to make sure that we're partnering with nonprofits to build more after school literacy programs within your school program district?
So it's definitely important to partner with nonprofits, because a lot of people have been doing this work, but they haven't gotten recognized for actually making literacy gains. And a lot of the work does happen after school. Mm. Even for myself, I'm a part of a program. It's called Super Learning Class, where we've been teaching children. So our children actually teach adults to go back to school and to finish their degrees out based on the literacy program that we teach. And so literacy, regardless of who's teaching it, is all about the curriculum. But like to your question, it is important to partner with the people who actually know what they're doing.
Yeah.
For this point, we all know how to teach children how to read.
Yeah.
Sometimes the politics get in the way, and the politics are the people.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have a literacy problem throughout the country. And but like I was saying, it is important. We know how to do it, but we got to talk to the people and talk to the organization that it actually knows how to do it. A simple mm-hmm. question is, you ask somebody, the literacy coaches, the nonprofits, ask them, what is reading? Well, it's just, you know, it's reading. And it's comprehension, but no, what does the actual word mean?
Yeah.
And once you look up the word reading and you go through the etymological process of it, it means decoding and deciphering symbols. Now, what are those symbols? The symbols are the letters. Mm-hmm. The letters are the alphabet. So now once we can get a child to understand that the actual letters that they write with maybe yeah. come from Africa and things of that nature, we may have a better approach to actually teaching these children, get them interested in learning something for the first time.
Yeah. So I'm going to tell you this now. Every time I talk with an educator, mm-hmm. from this day forward, I'm going to say, Tamarcus Porter told me to ask you, what is reading?
What does the prefix mean? What does the suffix mean? It just means to re-add.
Yeah, I love it. You're so knowledgeable. I love it. And so what I'm thinking, so both of we all could just chime in on this one, because I was asking Sable and ask you, when we thinking about our after-school programs, and I've never heard of that program. I definitely want to get them on the air one day, because to know that our children are teaching our adults, because there's a lot of children, especially in our Hispanic culture. Mm-hmm. The children are teaching the parents. The children are translating mm-hmm. for the parents. Right. So I love how the exchange is happening very well. So when you think about when we're looking at what outcomes are we hoping to achieve through these after-school literacy programs, because if we have an after-school program, like I was sharing with Sable, that it's important that we have some within the community, because every child parent may not have the wherewithal to send them across town or send them this, because we know in Memphis we have some transportation barriers, and then we know poverty is at like the root of it. So every child don't have a car in their driveway, right? Some of them got a bus pass, and they know when to get on this bus pass, it's gonna take them 3 hours to get to one side of town to the other. So they are missing after school program, and then if it's dark, they can't come back home, you know. And I was traveling, and I took my son on the subway, because he never, y'all have to know my baby to understand. So he's never ridden on the subway before, right? And he didn't ever, I was like, baby, you better hold on, because when it go, it's going. Mm-hmm. And when it's jump off and let's keep moving. Don't be looking back like, where we going?
Right.
Keep going, son. Don't stop, right? We don't have, and I wish we had a subway program, because I saw how that was moving through the city. And so what are some of the other outcomes that you guys know from a positive standpoint that you are adding to those community nonprofits that's probably never got the wherewithal, the resources, and even the connections, right? Because sometimes, you said something from a political, sometimes political people be so out of touch with the people, they forget about the people is the people that got them in. So let's make sure that we understand some people don't have cars. Some people don't have a computer. Some people don't even have running water. Some people got their lights off, right? So there's some challenges that our children come to school with every single day. So, Sable, I'll let you start there. What are some of the outcomes that you want to see that's achieving through these after-school literacy programs?
Well, our primary goal is to ensure that all students are reading at or above grade level. Beyond that, we want to instill a love of reading, improve comprehension skills, build confidence in our students who may be struggling. And then additionally, these programs serve as a bridge for families, providing resources and strategies they can use at home to support their children's learning. I do believe a lot of this does take root at home, you know, and again, a lot of parents do have a couple jobs, 2-3 jobs. So I think that's one of our biggest battles that we're dealing with right now, is making sure that the children are getting what they need at home. I was thinking about even my kids over the break. How many children actually picked up a book, you know, over the break? And, you know, I try to make a point to make sure that my 5-year-old was reading and being read to, make a point to ensure that my 12-year-old was reading. As well, because, you know, what they say, you have this saying, if you don't use it, you lose it. But a lot of them have never had it, right?
Yeah.
And so I think that we could offset a lot of the issues that we're having with literacy if we have those programs come in and they actually come into the schools to support our students. But that goes into when those programs come in, too, like you said, transportation.
Yeah.
Making sure that, you know, the kids have a way to get home, making sure that there's snacks provided for them, which I don't think that'll be an issue. I think right now it's just making those connections and going ahead and putting those things in place with our schools. And so, like I mentioned to you earlier before, one of my principals said that, you know, her biggest issue right now is, let's make sure we get our fourth graders taken care of. Let's make sure we're teaching them how to write. And things like that. And so just kind of thinking about some of the local organizations that I've spoken to and some of the organizations that they've spoken to. Maybe you have an organization that you maybe done work with in the past. And they did mention Rise to Read. They said that was a really good program. So I do plan on personally reaching back out to them and say, hey, you know, do we have any volunteers that are clear that can come over and help some of the fourth graders out? So just sitting down, putting together a plan, you know, throughout the rest of the year, seeing most of the principals already have plans, right? And so just making sure that we're actually being productive and that we're participating and supporting them with their needs and their plans that they actually have in place.
So. Awesome. So to you all that's listening right here to Dr. Talisa Franklin Ray on WYXR, that was Commissioner, School Board Commissioner Sable Otay. If you are in the Cordova area and you have a nonprofit that focuses on literacy and maybe they don't know about your nonprofit, make sure you reach out to her, and we'll give her information at the end of this conversation, because it is going to be critical that we connect the dots to everything for our children to be successful. Now, to Marcus, Commissioner School Board, great man of God, to Marcus Porter, tell us about your schools so that way if there's somebody that's around your school that has nonprofits that maybe you don't know about, that they can, we can breed some better partnerships, and then tell how you feel the same way that Sable said.
Well, I definitely feel the same way. One thing we need to do is break those barriers for the barriers that you're saying, the transportation barriers, the food barriers for children to allow them to able to learn. Mm-hmm. We need to try to lobby the state legislators on how we can, again, fully fund public education.
Yes.
And then bring those resources back into the community. Because if on average, a person in Memphis makes $35,000 a year and their child wants to play an after-school activity, or just activities in the community, now it's costing them $1,500 per child to participate in those activities. So those are the barriers. So how can we bring those resources back into the community, into the schools? That was free. Essentially, when I played Little League football, only my mother had to do was buy a mouthpiece and say, hey, go down there to the school and play football, play
like
basketball,
what
have
you. No more.
So we really do need to lobby our state legislators to find funding and say, hey, let's bring those resources back into the community, because like I said earlier, it's a lot of small nonprofits that are doing the work, but they don't know how to fill out the grant with the county commissioners. Mm-hmm. They don't know how to fill out the grant, and then so it's always one or two pieces that's missing. But that's definitely a great point. It was another thing y'all mentioned that kind of brought to my attention, but the district connectors.
Yes.
Now Shelby County government has district connectors, so they have 13 district connectors.
Yeah.
And so people that have been hired, so that people are listening to these issues. And so what the District Connector program does is, hey, we're going to go out into the community, to the churches, and talk to your people about what resources do you need, and we're going to take that District Connector person and connect those back with to your actual county commission representative, to your school board representative. Mm-hmm. So there are a couple of avenues that we can look at as far as like the actual districts.
I love it. And so what's your schools, before I ask this question? Tell us the schools that you represent.
So majority is District 4, Shelby County, Memphis Shelby County School Board, District 4, that's Southeast Memphis. So a lot of those schools in the Southland High School, Germantown High School, Kirby High School, a whole host of middle schools, and a whole host of elementary schools. So I have 20 schools total. But it's kind of in the Shelby Drive, Hatchcross area, Riverdale, and a little bit of Hickory Hill area.
Okay. So you said something, and I want to talk about this from a shift, because you played sports, right? And a lot of our children really have a desire to play sports, but their families can't afford it.
Right.
Because playing sports, when it was years ago, it was just a commitment, and everybody made it happen for the children. Mm-hmm. Now, baby, you want to play sports? Mama got to go get a third job just for you to play sports. Then you will have a problem, because mama can't be there at the game to watch you play, right?
Third job.
Because most parents, if you're making less than $35,000 a year, y'all, let's be real. Most parents got two jobs, right? Mm-hmm. Because if you're making $35,000 by the time taxes, you are living beyond poverty.
Right.
And God knows if you have more than one child, that's a lot.
That's a lot.
Right? And like now, I've gained a respect for parents that have autistic children, right? So I have a dear sister friend of mine. Her daughter is autistic. And I'm like, oh my God, you have some big shoes to fill as a working mom, single with an artistic child. That's a whole nother level. So that's a challenge, right? And so how do we still make those children feel value? But when you're thinking about sports, right? And so when we're trying to prioritize after-school extracurricular activities, most of our children can't afford it because the parents can't afford it. There's very few parents. Again, we have parents of our community. They don't have a car, and if they do have a car, it's one car for the household. So if little Johnny plays football, and football practice at 6 o'clock, and mom on her way to her second job, so who gonna keep little Johnny's sisters and brothers? So now little Johnny can't go play football, because little Johnny got to be the man in the house for mom. What, as commissioners of Commissioner Sable Tay, Commissioner Tamarcus Porter, what can you guys do to help support our parents in extracurricular activities? Because I believe You know, my dear friend, Pastor Leon Jones, that's in North Memphis in Raleigh. He has a thing called Light at Night. Mm-hmm. And he has the kids come and play basketball at midnight. Mm-hmm. My son loves it, right? It keeps them off the streets, right? Mm-hmm. But what happens to those children that want to do something at school, mm-hmm. but their parents don't have the wherewithal? Mm-hmm. And then I found out that, you know, there was one young boy that was playing football at area school. He could never play because his mama couldn't afford the cleats. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So he just sitting there looking at everybody else because his mama couldn't afford the cleats. Mm-hmm. So I mean, to tell me you could not work, like you said, lobby against somebody donating some cleats to these children? Mm-hmm. What about the children? Remember when we were children? Mm-hmm. The village mm-hmm. took care of us. Yes. So I'm expecting you guys as villages, how do you go back to the village and say, Lil Johnny needs some cleats, we gonna do it. Mm-hmm. Prime example, there's somebody called me today doing work in North Memphis and said, I wanna buy the children some bikes so they can get around. I said, okay. They go to Walmart, they send me the picture of what it costs. I immediately cash him. He's like, man, sister, I'm gonna tell you exactly what he said. He was like, I'm not playing when he come down to you. He said a word that wasn't good over the radio. Sister, you are quick. Thank you very much. Love you. But it's just the fact, because I don't want a child to be held back with something that I have resources to make it happen.
Right.
And so then I told him that just like you called me, you pick up the phone and you call the people that scream that we love children, we love mm-hmm. children. Mm-hmm. Show me where the money is. Mm-hmm. Show me how much you mm-hmm. love children. So that means mm-hmm. if you got some children, so if you can't get the other people to do it, how can you build the capacity within your community? Say, we're the village, we're going to take care of our own. Because if they go to jail, we're going to have to take care of them. If they're going to have a funeral, God forbid mm-hmm. they die, we're going to have to do a mm-hmm. GoFundMe. Mm-hmm. How can we take care of our village now? They say mm-hmm. somebody care for them. There is a teacher that forever I love, Mrs. Susan Brooks, mm-hmm. Dr. Lloyd Brooks, a wife from University of Memphis. Growing up, I was dead poor. We didn't have much. But I can tell you, Susan Brooks, when everybody else went to competition, I went to competition. We didn't have no money, but they made it happen for little Lisa, right? Because they saw something in little Lisa that my grandmama couldn't offer, right? She mm-hmm. couldn't get me to these different things, but this young lady did it, and she didn't look like me, mm-hmm. right? Let me be mm-hmm. very clear. Mm-hmm. She didn't look like, but she knew she had to be my village, right? So how do you guys go back to your villages, to your village, and to your village and say, mm-hmm. we're going to have to help these children so they can play football. They don't have to keep sitting on the bench saying, I can't never play. But then you got the drug dealer down here is telling, man, I buy you some cleats. Go take this weed down the road. Mm-hmm. He want to play football by any mm-hmm. means necessary. Yep. What is a village? For you, you got this young lady that may want to be a cheerleader, mm-hmm. but she can't mm-hmm. afford them cheerleader outfits. They change mm-hmm. clothes just like we change clothes every single day, right? Mm-hmm. She can't afford it. What can you do from a woman mm-hmm. perspective mm-hmm. to make sure our young girls be successful and our boys? Mm-hmm. And what can you do to make sure our boys are successful and our girls? What can you guys do so they can participate in these extracurricular activities?
Well, you know what? You're right. They can't afford it. So it's up to us as elected officials, from the federal level to the state level to all to the local level, all the municipals, to put money in our budget to reflect the thoughts and needs of the community.
Mm.
I like the idea of community-based budgeting.
Yes.
I really do like that idea, because if those are the people who elected us to fulfill some of these needs.
Yes.
And so mm-hmm. it's incumbent on all of us to take part in this problem. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, and too, another thing to your point is, yeah, we always say it's about children, it's about the children, it's about the children. But yet, we would put forth policies, resolutions mm-hmm. to gut funding that would go directly mm-hmm. to our children.
Yep.
And so you actually speaking against to what you're saying that you want to do.
Practice what you preach, partner.
Practice what you preach and then actually do it.
Yeah.
And so the other thing is, so again, so we have to put money in our budget to reflect those thoughts and ideas of what we want to see happen in our community. And another thing, too, is they always... people try to get us caught up in like policies, and that's our job. But just listen to the story, even listen to you saying, because I had a child, a young boy that was talking to me, and he didn't grow up without a dad just like me. And mm-hmm. well, he asked his dad, grew up with his dad, but his dad left because he was beating his mother, whatever.
Yeah.
And so but he left the state because he's trying to avoid child support payments. So
Oh, no,
but so when they talking to me, you know, and they say, well, Porter, how did you get over you not having a dad, or like, what did you do? So I had to figure out at that moment what it is to tell that little boy about how I got over, how I made it through, and now I have to think about his issues, his needs. I don't have time to think about a policy or actual budget. Right. So again, to the point is we have to be in a community to know what the community wants, and then we have to take those same thoughts. That's what a representative is.
Yeah.
The word itself means to represent.
Yeah.
So what are we representing? We're representing the thoughts of our communities. It's a People like to say it's a difference between an activist and an advocate. And that is true.
Yep.
I'm saying it's a difference between a representative and a leader.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm a representative. I think everybody can learn how to lead themselves.
Come on.
I'm tired of people looking for leaders. Learn how to lead yourself. Then once a group of leaders can come together, we can lead and go in the right direction. But we have leaders that's been in place this whole time, leading the city, leading the country, leading the county. And where they've been leading us to, we've been leading us down the Yellow Brick Road. So we got to start finding a representative that represents us, that have us in their best interest.
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference between a representative and a leader.
Come on now. You better preach, Porter. Preach! Same, Commissioner Otay.
Yeah, so I just want to thank you for the service and the work that you're doing in the community. We appreciate it. It just takes one. And if one person, if we can all come together and just help a child, right? Mm-hmm. That'll just change our community completely.
Yeah.
But I did want to say this, our goal, just to echo Commissioner Porter here, is to create a budget that reflects our commitment to addressing both academic needs and the whole child. And I want to say something. I want to call up a couple people, right?
Yeah.
Mr. Willie Gregory and Nike. Mayor Young, you know, and Dick's Sporting Goods, all these different organizations. Like, I remember when, when I was in school, we get a bag of cleats that were donated from the different stores and stuff, right? And so we go through and see what we could pick out, what, you know, our sizes, you know. And so we had sponsors that would do that, right?
Yeah.
And so I was listening to Mayor Young's missions and his goals and his visions for the city, and he said he wanted to invest in more extracurricular activities. So, Mr. Young,
Paul Young, you know I love you, bro.
Hey, our kids need some cleats, right? I think there's a way that he really wants that vision to come to fruition, and we can see what that need is. And I don't know how the budgeting will go, what the process will look like, but if we could take inventory of what the children are needing at each school, and then see what we can kind of do from there, and the organizations pull together, because a lot of these organizations do have to have those tax write-offs. Some of them do have to give away a certain amount of, you know, products. So, you know, that's how we can kind of continue to combat that. And I just want to get like a little bit more of in-depth knowledge on how that works now, because you know, the process is different. But that helped us a lot when it came to sports.
Yeah.
Even with the uniforms, you know, we have donors to give uniforms. Uniforms are very expensive now. So, and then just making sure that we get them back in one piece.
Yeah.
and utilizing them again. So I just think definitely that, since that's one of our initiatives from our mayor. Financial literacy is one of our mayor's initiatives as well. Just using those resources that we have here as a city to ensure that our students are getting what they need, because you know, the children learn a lot from these extracurricular activities. Some of them could be how I was. I thought that sport was my only way out.
Mm-hmm.
I depended severely on being successful in sports, so because I felt like that was going to be the pathway for me making a way for my family, right? I felt like I was a generational curse breaker. And if I could just do this one thing, I can change my family's trajectory. So you have people livelihood depending on being successful in sports. And then in other areas, you have them learning these different skills or leadership skills, discipline skills. You know, again, we talk about having a sound heart and a sound mind, you know, exercising, you know, that comes, that all plays into that. Being able to be a better test taker, being able to deal with anxiety and stress, you know, and being able to alleviate some of that through sport, right? And so just us being able to provide those resources that our children need, like you were saying, you know, a lot of the parents have to go and work another job just so they can afford those shoes. This stuff is expensive.
Yes.
Right? And I don't expect it just to fall out of thin air, but if we can, like Commissioner Porter said, ensure that we're incorporating that in our budget, you know, we'll be able to serve as our kids, so our kids can get out there and be involved in those extracurricular activities, and they not being involved in other things.
Yeah.
Right.
And I'm excited to have y'all representing us.
Well, Dr. Franklin, I want to ask you, how did you find the motivation to do what you do in the community with Juneteenth? Because I didn't even know.
Yes,
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody don't know everything I do. They don't know nothing about
it. So that's how did you find the motivation and say, you know what, I have a son who needs to come through this. And so I understand he has his insurance license now.
Okay. Yeah, he does. Yeah, because I'm tired of GoFundMe's in our community.
Yeah, that's right.
Because insurance is a quick way to it wealth, is. Right?
But for everything that you do, you spread hope throughout the city. People still need hope. People still need love. Yes, we see that God loves you, regardless of how people think of that.
Today.
Yeah. And so just all those small spurts, what all of us can do to play a part of this. So I do want to commend you. Everything you've been doing since I've been getting to know you. Yeah, you are the example of what we can do. We just in a position of being elected.
Yeah.
You know? And so and that's very true, because a lot of times people think they have to be in a position to make a difference. Mm-mm. No, you make the decision. You make the difference. And I worry about a position because too many times we worried about titles, right? I'm not concerned about titles. If you came from where I come from, I don't never want people to experience how I had to experience life.
Right.
You know, and of course the preacher me, the Bible says the poor will be with you always, but I never read my name, right? Mm-hmm. And so I made a conscious decision from a mom with five children with five different baby daddies. Mm-hmm. I put all three of my brothers through college. Aww. They have master's degrees. They're doing very well because I told them that we're breaking generational curses, right? And so with me doing that, I don't want to just break it for my boys. Mm-hmm. I want to break it for everybody. Mm-hmm. When the Lord gave me a son, baby, this is how life is going to be. Whether you like it or not, you'll appreciate it later. Right. Because growing up with nothing, you got to say, I had absolutely nothing. I had a lot of trauma. So on the ACEs, radar, right? Mm-hmm. I'm a 10. Mm-hmm. So anybody a 10 don't supposed to be nearby where I am, right? And so God has blessed me beyond measures. He's blessed me with multiple gifts and talents. Yes. The Bible said gifts and callings come without repentance. God has given me gifts. He's given me talents. And he's anointed me for the task, right? But I know it ain't for me. How can I get something with my hand like this? But if I keep my hand out open, I can receive and I can give. Mm-hmm. And that's for me. A lot of times people see I've had the billboards up about 4 years. Mm-hmm. And when I did the billboards, I was going to push my businesses, right? Mm-hmm. The Lord clearly says, push me. Don't worry about your business. Mm-hmm. If anybody know, you don't know what my business is, because all you know that God loves you. That's my business, right? That's right. You don't know nothing, but I love you, Memphis. That's my business. That's right. You don't know nothing, but for me to remind you, you're amazing. That's my business, right? And so God is giving me platforms and microphones to continue to do what I do, and I've never suffered lack, right? Yeah. God is giving me everything I want. I was even laughing at Christmas. That's like, what you want, sis? I don't want nothing, because anything I want, I'm going to go buy.
Right.
Right? Anything I want, I'm going to buy. Mm-hmm. Because I remember how I was when I was poor, I couldn't go to the candy lady and take 10 cents to get me some cookies. Because I remember what that felt like, right? Mm-hmm. So whenever I want some cookies, that's why I got a little too much from the holidays. Uh-uh. I ate all the holiday cookies was brought to me, you know, because God had been good to me.
Okay.
So that's what we lack in Memphis. Hope. Mm-hmm. We have leaders that continue to play musical chairs because they just want to lead. Mm-hmm. We have people that don't have the people's heart because they want to say they have the people's heart, but they go behind closed doors and don't have the heart of the people. How you going to represent me and you ain't got my heart?
That's right.
But what you doing, right? Now you want to represent yourself and for your own self-gratification. Mm-hmm. I have just learned that if I'm going to get to that next level with God, I am going to do what's right, and I'm going to love on people, I'm going to give them hope, and I'm only going to do positivity because I have a choice. I have a choice to say, oh, you ain't got that much water, because this could be a half bottle full, right? But to me, this a half full bottle, ain't half empty, because let me be thirsty or about to choke. This here going to clear my throat. Let me clear my throat, right? And so it's our perspective. How are we looking at it, right? I like what you said about you're representing the people. You ain't trying to lead, because we got a lot of leaders, and they just play a musical chair. Right, I love what you're doing because you're leading by example. And as long as I believe, if you guys continue to represent the people that trusted you all, you'll be in this a long time. And then now we can change the trajectory of Memphis, Shelby County Schools, Shelby County Government. Yes. We can change this. We can stop being the laughing stock, mm-hmm. and we'll show how we're working together. Mm-hmm. Because I don't care when I'm traveling, Memphis, either we're known as the laughing stock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let's be real. So mm-hmm. how do we use our voice for good in our community mm-hmm. to go to the next level? Mm-hmm. Y'all didn't get me on a rampage because okay. I go on a rampage because I want to see Memphis be that city.
Yes.
Right? I had many opportunities yep. to leave Memphis. I said, and people say, well, you'll do great in other cities. No. I'm going to do great in Memphis.
Right.
Because mm-hmm. I love Memphis. And some little girl that grew up like I grew mm-hmm. up, back from the projects mm-hmm. to my grandmama's house, didn't mm-hmm. know this, that, and other, mm-hmm. they need to see a Talisa Franklin.
They do.
Because they need to see what success can look like if right. you put your mind to it.
Right.
They need to see a Tamarcus Porter, what success look like for a black man came from a single parent, what success look like. Mm-hmm. They need to see what a Sable Ote that traveled the world but came back and still a great mother mm-hmm. and a wife. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of young women now not won't be wives, they just want to be baby mamas. That's a whole nother question. A whole nother subject. So anywho, Commissioner Porter, Commissioner Ote, I know we got a few more minutes, so give me about 60 seconds of some of the successes that you've already seen and some things you want to do, and tell people how to get in touch with you. You can go by 90.
Okay. So within my school district, well, I don't like, again, it's the separation.
Yeah.
But I just, within Memphis Shelby County School, we have seen some gains. We just got this data. Some gains with ACT scores. It can always be more. Mm-hmm. We have seen gains just district-wide where schools are going from levels 1 to level 3, and some are level 3 to level 5. So we have seen gains in their perspective. But it's an ongoing process.
Yeah.
Just with the district again, we've seen like Principal Bush. He's our older South Bend High School. Yeah, he's doing a remarkable job. I definitely give him a shout out. I want to give a shout out to Leviticus yeah. Corner for over there at Caribbean High School as well. Just those having those men stepping those roles as principal and just trying to, like you said, change the trajectory of the way we view Memphis Shelby County Schools. So my district is doing a lot. I'm still learning. I said we newly elected, so I'm still learning. So I have a town hall meeting tonight.
Yes, I was going to say, talk about that,
honey. I forgot all about
it. We talked about it yesterday on WMC5. Yeah,
I saw it. So we definitely have a town hall meeting tonight. One of them is for the children. And yeah. then, so that's tonight. Then Thursday night, weather permits, we'll have one for the adults, staff, teachers, just to come out and just to be heard.
Yeah.
It's not me telling them what to do because I don't know everything. It's for them to actually say, hey, these are our concerns. These are our thoughts. Let's get them out. We will have people from the district there to answer certain questions.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to bring the whole community feel back. So I do have two town hall meetings. And so hopefully it'll be a great turnout and we can get some positive things going there.
Yeah, what about the children? You ain't forget about the cheering first. Yeah, I love it. Commissioner Ote, give us your successes and give us your win and talk about your closing pieces.
So I would definitely say, throughout the district, having more engagement in after school programs. We have families that have expressed gratitude for having a safe and productive space for their children to go through. And moving forward, we expect to see improvements in reading scores, higher confidence levels in students, and stronger community involvement in education. If within my district, some of the successes that a lot of our principals are, really excited about, or some of the things that they're excited about, it's just, again, definitely the engagement mm-hmm. That they've been kind of seeing with the parents.
Yeah.
I'm excited about that because if we can get more parents are really excited right now. If we can get more parents actually being more hands-on, advocating for our students, reading to them, coming in and being a support. We're going to have a volunteer link up. So parents, you can sign up on the volunteer link, sign your hours because we got TCAP coming up. We're going to need a support in those areas. Just us actively coming together and working together to build a better Memphis for our children. And so there's still hope in Memphis.
Yeah.
There's still great things going in Memphis and great things come from Memphis. And so, despite everything that's going on, we're going to be the ones that's going to be able to control how we can move our district and our city forward. And it's going to start with making sure that we focus on the children.
Yeah.
So thank you for having us here. We're very appreciative. We're looking forward to just having a great 2025.
Absolutely. And you just know that you guys are always welcome. So when y'all having something great And maybe let's bring a child on during the summer or when the school is out. I love to have one of your children to tell, because let me tell you, I'm all about the kids and the grown folks. Yes. I just like y'all, but I love children and I love seniors, but I like y'all. Because see, y'all be fickle, baby. Y'all be real fickle.
That's right. That's
but I love children and I love senior citizens, y'all, but I like y'all. No, seriously, thank y'all for being a beacon of hope for our young ladies, Sable Otay. Thank you for being a beacon of hope for our young brothers, because our young brothers and our young sisters, they need to see you all. They need to see you all in these roles so they have something to excel. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm always about, how do I sell my story? Mm-hmm. Because I don't want nobody to think I just woke up and got here.
Right.
No, I know what it looks like to have government cheese, to eat peanut butter sandwiches. I know what it looks like not to have, right? Mm-hmm. But I also know what it looks like that I don't care what they telling me, I ain't buying that I won't be nothing.
Right.
I'm telling myself every day that I am victorious, regardless of what it looked like, my perception of what my life will be and is, I am victorious. Thank you all. You guys, what is the school board's, what is the website they can go to get your emails and your contacts? I'm going to have to do that.
So it's Memphis Shelby County School, so it's sesk12.org.
Okay,
and
cool.
You click about and click school board, and you have all the school board members pop up, and that's our direct emails. And you can hit us up on social media inboxes. You know, just, you know, we there. We are approach, like say, Commissioner will tell you, like say, we're approachable.
Yeah. Y'all, hit them up, hit them up, hit them up. Hey, y'all know I'm your girl, Dr. Talisa Franklin. Make sure you are following me on all social media.